on this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Hey, Table Otters, welcome back for this very special episode on the psychology of so many choices. Who would have thought that having too many choices could actually be bad for you? Isn't that what we're lobbying for? Isn't that what we're marching for? Isn't that what we're hammering our fists for? More choice, more choices? Well, not so fast, because sometimes having too many choices can actually be bad for your mental health. That coming up next.
Welcome to Therapy Bites Art Lab, where Dr. Heath and his special guests share real-life stories of helping and healing. Fresh from the actual therapy couch, while taking a bite out of common counseling missteps and misconceptions. And now, here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Okay, we have it in our Art Lab studio today, our brave psychotherapy adventurers, Bookworm Sarah, and Gamer Girl Heather, and Crazy Squirrel Lady Debbie, who has the shirt to go with her diagnosis. And we have you here today. Thank you for being here. For those new to the podcast, Art Lab stands for Accurate Realistic Thinking, Life Affirming Beliefs. And we are so privileged that you join us every week for these episodes. We really hope that the knowledge presented psychologically, where we try to burst some psychological, pseudo-psychological, that is, social media nonsense. There's so much garbage out there, so much pseudo-psych noise out there in the social media world, and we want to challenge that. And one of those is about choice. You know, as the saying goes, more is not always better. You walk into the supermarket, then there's 57 boxes of different cereal that you can purchase. Mm-hmm. You walk into the Quick Mart and there's 30 different energy bars. Why are there 30 different energy bars? Do you need 30 different energy bars? No. The reason that there's 30 different energy bars is there's 30 different companies producing energy bars that go and market for placement on those shelves, and you're not going to eat all of them. You're not even going to like all of them. But there's this whole philosophy that more and more and more is better. It is the actual excess of excess. And this episode is on that, a little bit about the psychology of excess in terms of choices. Do you think that you really need all those choices? Well, we're going to kind of go round robin today with some of our clinical experts. We're all licensed mental health clinicians. We have probably a collective experience of somewhere around, 70, 80 years or something in the mental health field. And we want to share that knowledge with you to help them big in your life. What are some ways that you guys have seen choice actually be detrimental to patients?
Absolutely. I mean, if you even look at, and I might lose the doc and Debbie for a second here, but if you look at Steam, which is a place where you can get games, you can get video games, there are, Heather, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're on Steam as well, but there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of video games that you can choose to play. I mean, you have to pay for pretty much all of them, right? But there are hundreds of thousands to millions of video games you can choose. And I mean, from a personal perspective, I've just sat there and looked at all of them and been like, I don't even know where to start. Mm-mm. I don't even know where to start.
I think, too, another thing that I've seen detrimental with choice, with having too many choices, is, of course, I'm from the generation where at one time, we didn't have so many choices. You know, you went to get something and you got it and it was something to use. Mm-hmm. And now there's like 25, 30, 45, 48 when you look on Amazon, different choices. And it is, you know, you don't know where to start. The other thing I think it affects is contentment. Oh, we're not as content because I'll buy the one and it'll be like, oh, but that's not good enough. I really like that other one, too. I want
Called? There's even a name for that, the fear of missing out, which is really not a fear. It's not an emotion. It's really a thought process, the thought of missing out. Mm-hmm. We should do a shirt on that. It's actually called TOMO. Thought of missing out. Not FOMO. It's not about the emotion. It's about the thought. We first engineer thoughts, and our thoughts engineer lives. Quit picking on emotions. Leave fear alone. You know, there's nothing wrong with fear. It's TOMO, the thought of missing out. And that's a cognitive distortion because you make a choice, and then you get to thinking, oh, but wouldn't I have had more pleasure?
Yep.
By the way, I chose that term specifically. You notice I did not say happy. It's not that happy is something that cannot be gained or lost in an instant. See, if you're talking about something that can be gained or lost in an instant. You're talking about pleasure, mm-hmm. not happiness. Just a quick sidebar on that, and we could do a whole episode on happiness. But imagine I ask you, I do this thought experiment with patients. Imagine I ask you, you live to be 100. At 100, what will have been your average bank account balance? Not what you hope it'll be, but what will it be? Tell me now. Well, you're so, I don't know. I've not made it to 100. Same thing with happiness. Happiness is an average that can only be calculated at at the very pinnacle end of life at a ripe old age. You can look back and survey the mountains of your life that you conquered, the valleys of your life you have went through and endured, and then on average you can say, it was been a pretty good life. People make the mistake of thinking that happiness boils down to making the right candy bar choice or the right pizza topping choice, which is ridiculous. That's not happiness. That is pleasure. Mm-hmm. And the thought of missing out is thinking that, oh my goodness, I made the wrong choice because I would have had much more pleasure had I chosen the pepperoni instead of the pineapple. Mm-hmm. Darn it. I could add both. It's another choice. And it leads to more stress that we'll get to stress in a moment. Stress has to be addressed in our episode today. That's the whole issue. And it's not the stress. Quick pro tip here. Don't think it's the stress that's the killer. It's the not. That is not what the research shows. Mm-hmm. We'll talk mm-hmm. about that in a moment. But I remember the days where I would go down to Homer's gas station, and it was actually run by a guy named Homer.
Hey.
God rest his soul, Homer's gas station. Homer had a big ice box, literally a small coffin full of soda pops. And the choice was easy because there was orange knee-high mm-hmm. and grape knee-high and then all the other stuff I didn't want anyway. I mean, that really cut down my choices to two. Mm-hmm. And the way I managed it is I would have an orange knee-high this time and a grape knee-high next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Simple, easy peasy. Mm-hmm. Nice and easy. And now there's, how many orange drinks are there? I don't know, dozens and dozens at your local Quick Mart. I don't think knee-high is one of those. I don't see knee-high a whole lot, but that was my favorite mm-hmm. drink as a kid. And if I didn't want something, you know, sugary like that, then there was also Yoo-hoo. And mm-hmm. the choice was simple because there was Yoo-hoo, and then there was really nothing else like Yoo-hoo. Mm-hmm. There weren't any Yoo-hoo knockoffs. That's a chocolate drink for those of you. You can Google it. And a honey bun. There was really nothing else like honey buns. I like those vanilla wafer things with the creamy stuff yes. in the middle. What are those called?
Oh, I think they're literally just called
vanilla wafers.
Vanilla. No, not vanilla. No, not that's vanilla what you wafers. Put in a banana pudding. Oh. Vanilla wafers. These had the cream in the middle.
We have yeah.
But there was nothing else like those. There wasn't a knockoff. Mm-mm. And I'll tell you, there wasn't a lot of stress.
No.
Again, we'll get to the definition of stress here before the episode is over. Because there weren't choices that weighed against me. Mm-hmm. Have you guys actually had patients that have more stress based on the choices that they do have?
This was before I was a clinician. I wasn't doing therapy at this time. I was actually in high school, and I was working with this group here in town who worked with children who had just come out of the foster system and were being adopted. It was a program to kind of help them get structure in their life, to maybe be a little bit away from their adoptive parents and kind of help them cope with some of the stuff that was going on, not in a therapeutic sense because we weren't, you know, licensed or anything like that. But one of the things that we would do is we would come alongside the parents and teach them how to really structure these children's lives because they experienced some pretty traumatic things, whether from their birth parents or the foster care system. And they would just go really quiet if you gave them too many choices or asked them too many questions. And so something that we would tell the parents about would be, you know, when you first have these kids come into the home, if it's, you know, a food type of thing, don't just give them all these choices. Start off with, you know, finding out what they liked and then just give it to them. Don't give them a choice. And then once they got comfortable with that, maybe two choices. Like, do you want orange juice or apple juice? And leave it there. Don't be like, oh, you want orange, apple, grape, coffee, you know, what do you want? Because they would just kind of stand there like, I don't even know, you know. And they, obviously, as children, they didn't entirely know what was going on. But so we would also try to help them structure activities instead of being like, well, do you want to go to the park? Do you want to play with Legos? Do you want to play video games? What do you want to do? It'd be like, okay, so for this amount of time, we're going to play with Legos. For this amount of time, we're going to jump on the trampoline, you know, try to help them regain some sort of structure instead of throwing all these different choices at them.
And that's really underthinking. You know, we have a underthinking ant, that we, a graphic that we created. He has a telescope, and it's looking at the ground. It can only see there what's under the telescope. We call that underthinking. And parents that think that they are better parents at throwing all these choices at their kid or kids are really just underthinking. Mm-hmm. And moreover, why do they do it? They do not do it. Here's a little shock jock Doc Heath for you. They're not doing it for the benefit of the kid. They're doing it because they are selfish. They're doing it for themselves. They're doing it because they don't want to see their child struggle with not getting all the choices that they want, and they're just being selfish. They're doing it because they don't want to deal with the child experiencing difficult emotions of not getting what they want. Let me say something to you, parents. The greatest thing you can ever teach a child is to how to be an expert at not getting what they want. Yes. I told my son throughout his life growing up with me is I want to make you an expert at not getting what you want. I'm going to give you so many opportunities to not get what you want that by the time you leave home, you'll be an expert at that. And he is, and he's in med school now. You know, I think it worked out pretty well. And it's so bizarre, I would even hear Sarah talk about someone saying, you can have orange juice or you can have this. Because as I was growing up, here's how choice was presented to me. Choice was presented to me based on what was in the cupboard, which often wasn't a lot. I mean, we moved to the state of Arkansas, and the bathroom was 20 yards from the kitchen. It sounds like we lived in a big house. No, that's because the bathroom was an outhouse, a wooden shack with a one-seater. Thank goodness it wasn't a two-seater. That would have been awkward. And the choice was what was in the cupboard, and the choice might be, if we were lucky, here's your choice for today. You can have orange juice or, let me think, orange juice. Which would you like to have? No orange juice? Well, wonderful. We have the choice of water and more water. We would camp out a lot, and my aunts and uncles decided it would be a great idea to cook a lot of white beans. And you'll be amazed that after this story, I still love white beans, but you have to put ketchup in them. Ketchup and salt and some pepper. Some people think putting ketchup in white beans looks like someone's been murdered in your white beans. You know, it's white bean murder. But they cooked this huge freaking pot of white beans, and we had white beans for breakfast. What's for lunch? White beans. What's for supper? White beans. Hey, you kids want a snack? We have more white beans for a snack. And I still like white beans. And you know what? I think we grew up okay. There are, and this is not politically correct. I'm going to advertise this is not politically correct. I should hit the button here, you know.
Look at me.
You do not give your kids a choice. Hey, guys, there's the airport. Who wants to go pilot a 747?
No. You do not give
your kids the choice. Hopefully, well, if you don't want to go to school, you don't have to go to school. Mm-hmm. And here's where things get really weird with parenting in our profession. If you have a kid that has appendicitis, do you tell that kid, well, you know, the doc says you have appendicitis, but I'm not going to make you get surgery. If you don't want an appendectomy, I'm not going to force you to have an appendectomy. You have that choice, of course. Well, how ridiculous is that? And we see lots of parents that they will actually give their kids the choice of whether to go to therapy or not. Well, if you don't want to go to therapy, even though there's some psychological problems, oh my goodness, I'm not going to make you go to therapy. What a selfish, freaking selfish thing to do. You're not doing that for the kid. You're doing that for your own benefit. You're doing nothing more than parenting in a laissez-faire manner just for your own purposes. I mean, have you guys seen things like that where choice gets bantied about as just simply good parenting?
The Therapy Bites podcast is HIPAA compliant. No identifying patient information will be disclosed by Therapy Bites podcast hosts or Therapy Bites podcast guests without permission from patients or guardians. All personal stories are de-identified in order to comply with HIPAA, the NASW Code of Ethics, and the Ethical Principles of Psychologists and Code of Conduct. Fresh from the therapy couch and from the deep dark recesses, stories may involve exploding preconceived notions and topics uncomfortable to underthinkers and small farm animals. Audience discretion and duct taping your head for safety is advised. Concrete-headed Kool-Aid drinking humans assume all risks associated with any possibility of choking to death on the accurate, realistic thoughts presented in the Art Lab. This is natural selection, and Therapy Bites podcast management and hosts are not responsible.
It's time for Fresh from the Therapy Couch, where we share real-life stories of struggles and victories, of resilience and regret. And one of the biggest regrets I run into with patients is about the path not taken, thoughts that they zigged when they should have zagged or zagged when they should have zigged. And there's lots of regret, and there's lots of thoughts that they are guilty of something. And by the way, guilt is not a feeling. It is a legal determination, hopefully based on evidence, but not always. And that's our Fresh from the Therapy Couch story today, is about patients who will think in retrospect, with hindsight, that they made the wrong choice. But what is that really? What that really is a series of cognitive distortions that they know, had this choice been taken, things would have turned out better. Well, that's a psychic ability that no one has. How would you know if you would have made this choice that it would have turned out better? Better to zero in on the choice you did make and learn from it, find value in it, and use that the next time you have a similar choice. Instead of sitting around catastrophizing the path not taken, focusing your energy on thinking about your thinking about the path that was taken. The more you engineer your thoughts in a healthy way, the healthier your life will be.
You're listening to Therapy Bites Art Lab, bite-sized therapy for your brain with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball Team. The best advice on the net. No copay required.
You're slipping beneath the cushions of your bobble-headed psychotherapist's couch, leaving behind empty, echoing, cushy, comforting, pseudo-psychological claptrap, moving into a deeper dimension of your own mind, where distorted thinking, hurting, hopelessness, and regret evaporate into clarity, healing, renewed hope, and newfound resilience. That's the podcast sign up ahead. Your next stop, Therapy Bites Psych Secrets.
From the deep, dark recesses beneath the therapy couch, today's secret psych disorder is decidophobia. Yes, there's actually a diagnosis for the difficulty that comes with having too many choices, and it is defined as the irrational fear of making decisions. Well, now I want to take issue with that. Fear as an emotion cannot be irrational, as no emotion can be irrational. They just are. What is irrational? What is irrational is the thought process. Therefore, it really, really matters what you decide to tell yourself about your choices and what you decide to tell yourself about making this choice versus this choice. A quick pro tip from the Art Lab is to see the choice you do make as having value and meaning. You can go back and maybe make that other choice later, or you can realize that the choice you made is one that you can live with and one that you can continue to find value in in the short term if it's a short-term decision, or in the long term if it's a long-term decision. Decidophobia comes from what? From thinking in inaccurate, unrealistic ways and catastrophizing the choice you made. Decatastrophize, and the phobia goes away. Just like that, but with practice, practice, practice. Catch you next time.
Once again, Doc Heath rips the cushions from the couch, dishes the dirt, lets the cat out of the bag, uncorks the bottle, letting the genie escape, and blows the lid off of another of the universe's psych secrets.
Here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen a lot of that. You know, a lot of times I've heard these words come out of a parent's mouth when I've talked to them about something similar to this. They're like, well, I just want them to have everything I didn't have.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say when you were done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go exactly. Complete the other opposite. Right. In other words, I did too much when I was a kid growing up. I don't want my kids to have to do. I want my kids to enjoy their childhood and go like, complete the other side.
Like, they don't want them to do chores. They don't want them to, it's like, they just need to be kids and have fun and go out and play and do all this stuff. And it's like, but what is that teaching them in the long run?
I'll kind of talk to them. I'll be like, okay, so you don't want to teach them responsibility. You don't want to teach them how to be a successful adult when they grow up, you know, because just letting them sit around on their tablet all day, that's not going to get them anywhere. Mm-mm.
Or in front of their Xbox. Right. Or do we still use Game Boys? Or Game Boys still a thing?
I think
if you're a college kid and you're 20s or 30s, maybe.
Oh, okay.
If you're a 90s kid, maybe.
I think that's kind of evolved into the Switch now, because
handheld. Oh, the Switch, I guess the Switch too. Is the new Game Boy.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the greatest parenting things you can do for kids is actually to limit their choices.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Well, psychologically, it engineers impulse control.
Right.
Because I learn how to be okay with not getting what I want. And, you know, as a recent meme we put out, that no is engineered into the very fabric of the universe. Gravity says, you want to leap like Michael Jordan? Gravity may just tell you no.
Yes.
You want to drive your vehicle or run as fast as, who's the fast guy, Usain Bolt?
Yes.
Is that is all right? Inertia and friction is going to say no. You know, your arthritis may say no. You want to be president of the company? Well, you know, your boss, who's the president of the company, may just say no. The world is full. The universe is engineered with no as an essential fabric of it. What a terrible thing to engineer into your child's mind. The opposite.
Mm-hmm.
That yes is really how life really is. No, they're going to run into no every step they take.
Well, I have a question that kind of has been going around in my head, Doc Keith, for you about choices and stuff. We talk about, you know, how as adults, we have problems, you know, with making choices. Like somebody says, you want a hamburger? It's like, well, yeah, okay, well then, well, do you want it from McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, like Five Guys? Where do you want it from? For kids who aren't as cognitively developed in their minds, like they haven't developed all the way, does that make a difference with giving kids choices, having them with all those choices?
Well, I just want to say, get my hamburger from the fake soybean meat place made by the guy that bit the other guy's nose off.
Oh, my God.
You know, I think that's just so ironic, not to do a sidebar here, but, you know, the guy makes fake meat, and I guess he was very hungry. because of all the fake meat. No, I think that's healthy for him. I would just say no to the hamburger. I said, no, don't. I'll have a protein shake. No, I'm not endorsing a product, but make it a Metrix. Metrix. I've been drinking Metrix protein shakes for a long time. But Heather brings up a good point, because in many ways, psychologically, that would be like telling a kid who is 4'3" to go dunk the basketball. I mean, they're just not physiologically capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm, right.
And kids at different ages have different levels of psychological, neurological development, and they don't have the mechanics to make these decisions. That is why we have these specially made things, which often malfunction. if our automobiles malfunctioned as much as these mechanisms, every 50 feet on the interstate, you'd see a broken down automobile. And of course, these malfunctioning mechanisms are called parents. Parents are these malfunctioning mechanisms. Why? Because parents want to live for themselves, and their kids become just toys. To an unhealthy parent, the child is nothing more than a toy. And we want to play with the toy, and we want to engage our mirror neurons and you know, surreptitiously live through our children. And our mirror neurons excite with pleasure when we witness pleasure in our children. Well, the more valuable thing is to realize that their level of development may not be up to the task to deciding such things as whether to get an appendectomy or whether to go to school or whether to decide my gender preference. You're going to let a kid decide this stuff? Really? Come on. You're not doing that for the kid. You're doing that for you because you have some misconceived notion of what it is to be a good parent. Choice can actually be very disabling. And as I say all this, I'm kind of wondering what my editors are going to bleep out. We're going to bleep out that last comment. That's too shocking, too politically incorrect. But you know what? Parents, you need to hear this stuff. Mm-hmm. That you're expecting your kids to make some of these decisions makes about as much sense as putting them on an American Airlines flight and escorting the kid to the pilot seat and letting them fly the freaking airplane. Pop quiz. Guess when your kid's neurological development reaches a terminal point where all the connections, the synapses are there, all the lobes, especially the frontal lobe, the seat of executive functions is really fully developed. What is that number? Anybody? Tick, 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 tick. Cue Jeopardy music. Early 30s. Mm-hmm. Early 30s. Yep. I mean, there's a good argument that none of us should be driving automobiles until we're early 30s, much less deciding all this life-changing stuff. I mean, what are we going to do? Start letting kids decide when to smoke marijuana, when to use drugs. Mom, I'm going to be in the bedroom snorting some coke. Okay, make sure you don't get it all over the carpet. I mean, at what point does it end when we realize that kids are not adults? And this is not a new idea. If you will look at Victorian photos... This is really just a pretty retro, actually, because in Victorian times, people really thought that kids were simply miniature adults. Mm-hmm. And this is just a revisit of that same nonsense idea, letting a kid have all these choices. Just look at how adults deal with choices. I mean, we just talked about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even full-fledged, full-grown adults don't deal well with choices. Mm-hmm. Why would you think kids could deal well with choices? Limit your kids' choices the same way that you might train them for a marathon. Ultimate choice is like, hey, kid, go run a freaking marathon when they're just now a toddler. Mm-hmm. Well, they have to attain to that developmental level before they do well at it. Right. Don't raise your kid based on ridiculous pseudo-psychological social media, even TV media nonsense that you should just give your kids all these choices. And you know where I find this being the problem the most? At what point in a kid's life, during what episodes, difficult episodes during a kid's life, do we find parents just heap choices on their kids? What's going on?
Ooh, is it like teenagers, kind of puberty?
Well, what's going on with the parents where you see choice just vomited onto children? Ooh. When parents are in conflict.
Oh, yeah.
When parents are separated, parents are divorcing,
yes.
They're trying to ally with their kids. They believe they're guilty of something, and they may very well be. Namely, it's adults acting like children. Mm-hmm. But they just vomit choice onto kids trying to make up for their own misbehavior. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna become a Disneyland dad or Disneyland mom. And believe me, listen, I appreciate the business. What I mean by that, if you raise your kid this way, they will need someone like me or my fellow colleagues to help them make sense of their life after being raised in this way. the one of the biggest things to guarantee your kid will need to get into therapy when they get older and when they have relationships and start ruining those relationships is to vomit choice all over them. Restrict choices, teach kids how to be better experts at not getting what they want. And some tips for you listeners today, how to get better at your own choices. What are some things that you guys do in your life?
I think for me, it's just approaching the situation knowing I have to make a choice. Because I know like a big one is, for me at least, at times is like, well, what do you want to watch? If we're watching something, because there's a lot of choices to make with different things. And it's like, well, pick something that you just want to watch. Just pick something. Just choose something. Don't hem-haw over, well, maybe, you know, what if they don't like it? Or what if I don't like it? Or what if it's not good? Very few choices, well, I won't say that very few, but there are choices that you can make that are permanent, but other choices can be fixed or turned off, or especially if it's something little like, you know, what do you want to eat? What do you want to watch? Those aren't big, significant, life-changing choices. So just go with something. If it's not good, you can throw it away or just know not to order it the next time or shut it off. But also, you know, if it's a big life choice, seek counsel. There's wisdom in many counsel. And so if you have something that you just are struggling with, sometimes it's okay to ask for help and to say, hey, these are the things that I'm debating. Let me hear your thoughts. Like, get another opinion on it.
Two heads are better than one, as my dad always
said. Once I get all the information and consider everything and I make a choice, I really make it a point to stick with it and not look back and not, you know, reconsider. Well, what are my other options again? When I make a choice, right, I plan to stick.
And what you're talking about there, by the way, is learning to find value in the moment. Mm-hmm. And even if you haven't made the choice that brings optimal pleasure, does it mean there's not value in the yoo-hoo that you did choose?
Yes.
Maybe you might have gotten more pleasure out of the knee-high orange, but what about the yoo-hoo? Why not find value in the moment? I have many fond memories of my dad buying me a yoo-hoo from Homer's gas station. And this is also about not letting pleasure lead the way. Mm-hmm. The ultimate thing in life cannot be pleasure. Mm-mm. Because there's not enough of it. The very thing that makes pleasure pleasure is because of its rarity, you know, because of its rarity. And if you do make a choice which doesn't bring optimal pleasure, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Then, and one last thing I will leave you guys with is what's undergirding all this is developing a framework for making choices. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do a thought experiment with patients. When's the last time you went to Walmart or some other store? I just don't want to pick on Walmart. and decided, well, I'm just going to steal something today. It's actually cheaper. I don't see cameras. No one's watching. I think I can get away with it. Well, why don't you do that? Well, because you've decided that you're not a thief. That is one way to reduce choice, is to have a framework for making them. Why would I not have the hamburger? And hamburger people, don't sue me. I'm not trying to give you a bad name. I'm not looking for a lawsuit here where I need Dr. Phil to come and, like you did, Oprah, help her out of the lawsuit by the beef association. My father-in-law farms beef. Nothing wrong with that. But why would I not have a hamburger? It's not on my diet plan. It's just not something I eat. I mean, I drink a lot of protein shakes. I eat a lot of salads. I'll eat egg sandwiches and a BLT. I like turkey bacon, you know, but it's just not on my menu. You have to decide. You have to take control and decide what is on your menu of life. One of mine is at 8 o'clock. I'm not going to skip my workout. I do my workout about 8 o'clock. It's a short workout, 8:30. But decide what's on your menu of life and let that determine your choices. Why don't I buy Frosted Flakes? Frosted Flakes people, please don't sue me. This is just an example. Because it's just not on the menu. I don't speak rudely, discourteously to people. It's just not on my personal menu. I care about my character. I can be very edge with my comments, but decide what's on your menu. And it, as long as it is a healthy menu, it will really help you out with choices. How do you know not to get into affairs or flirtatious chit-chat? Make sure it's not on your menu. How do you make sure that you don't say things to your spouse or loved ones that you shouldn't? Well, make sure it's not on your menu. The smaller your menu is, the more you can manage it. And one last thing on stress. Stress is the weight. I'm holding a coffee cup in my hand. By the way, this is the, if you have a hard time shutting people up, try listening to them, gas tape mug, fresh from the Therapy Bites Shopify store. You can get yours there too. But it exerts a weight upon my hand, that is stress. Now, is that bad for me? No, because I had the requisite resources to deal with it. Choice is less of a stress if you put yourself in charge of choice, not choices in charge of you. You get to decide. No one gets to decide for you. No one can manipulate you, gaslight you. Those are silly psychological memes. The stress of choice can be managed by you, but you have to develop a framework, a way of thinking about it. Thank you for being with us today on the episode. We look forward to you joining us again next week. We have something very special coming up. It's called T-Ball Tuesdays. That'll be a podcast with just my team here. And then we'll have Therapy Bites Thursdays, where we interview each week a special guest. So keep looking out for that. That's coming up soon. Have a great week.
Bye,
everybody.
Individual psychological concepts are very different animals from one another. And while they are often readily observable in the wild, the Therapy Bites Art Lab Zoo affords us a unique opportunity to study them in a safe and controlled environment. Welcome to the Therapy Bites Art Lab Creature Feature. Oh, good heavens!
Your feature for the week is the... Drum roll, please. Avoidance gnat. So, with our episode being about choices, we thought the avoidance gnat, which stands for negative automatic thought, would be a perfect example. So the avoidance gnat, he wants you to stay away from anything that's uncomfortable, difficult, anything that you don't want to do. This can include making decisions, making choices. He's telling you that, you know, if you make the wrong decision, it's going to be horrible, so why make a decision at all? Don't listen to this little bug. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Instead, listen to our little friend, Artie. Accurate, realistic thoughts. He's the one that is has all the information, has the things we need to know.
Hey, T-Ballers. Thanks so much for being with us today. If we brought value to your day, show us some love by leaving your positive feedback and inviting some friends to listen in and join the T-Ball team. Next time on Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Listening fast versus listening deep. The psychology of communication. Join us coming up next.
Government legal gobbledygook. Therapy Bites is not intended as a diagnostic or as an alternative to professional clinical treatment. Resources and advice are for information and entertainment purposes only. Brought to you by... Someone saying things you don't like? Tape that nagging loudmouth shut. Government-approved speech tape. Gas tape. Now available at your local hardware store. Therapy Bites Art Lab is not an approved, endorsed, authorized, butt-kissing affiliate of the United States Special Offense Assessment Police, SOAP for short. Warning! Consumption of Therapy Bites Art Lab content by Kool-Aid drinking, stinking, thinking, social media, pseudo-psychological pushing, wacky woke, anti-free speech, mumbo-jumbo advocates may cause spontaneous internal skull combustion, stomach discomfort, and or laxative effects. Allergy warning. Therapy Bites is manufactured in a facility that challenges nutty distortions, processes nuggets of accurate, realistic thinking, and life-affirming beliefs. This is the audio version of the legal fine print. Why are you still listening to this when you can catch the next great episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab with a good friend or family member? Really? Are you still there? This is getting silly. Move on to the next psychologically thrilling episode of the best advice on the net. No copay required.
Me eat copay.
Yeah, with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball team. Go ahead. Don't be podgoraphobic. Scoot, scoot, scoot. On to the next episode.